On Thursday night, I introduced to you Chris and Mary Herndon, who are a part of our team back at Family Life. Told you that Chris is the chief operating officer for the ministry. God has had them on a journey over the last couple of years, and we're going to ask them to come up and share a little of that journey with us this morning. So thank you guys for being here. Chris and Mary also speak at our Weekend to Remember Marriage Getaways and are the parents of three children, one married daughter, one daughter who is in college. She's in college, right?
Yes. She started her freshman year.
Freshman year. Mm-hmm. And then a son who is still at home, Charlie, who's ninth grade?
Eighth grade.
14.
Okay.
Yep, there they are.
Birthday.
Oh, there's the family, yeah. Yep. All right. So.
New son in love.
Yes.
Brandon.
I can't say that. I just
can't say well. Son in love yet.
It feels weird.
Yeah.
But two observations, obviously. I made like way up,
yeah.
Right? And I know a lot of you guys did as well, but I'm just thankful that God gave our children the genes of mom, not the genes of dad. So, yeah.
Just for context, before we get into the journey you guys have been on, just share with these folks how you wound up at Family Life. Can we go all the way back to when you and I first met?
It's a true woman. Good gracious, that's been a while. That's about 7 years ago. So we were in North Carolina just living life, and we just were in a season where we felt uncomfortable with comfortable. And we knew that God was stirring on our hearts, and we had a heart for the nations, but we also were feeling like God was giving us a burden for the family. And we were like, which one is it? And we were so confused because we didn't know how that could be. And so I met Bob at True Woman. And
can I just tell you?
Are you going to tell the whole story?
Well, no, just first of all, I have to tell you that, yes, I do go to True Woman events, okay?
He looks stunning. He was really stunning.
I've been the MC for, this is Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth's ministry. She's had a number of these national conferences for women. I've been the MC for those events. Love doing it. But after the first night, I'm walking out, and here comes this woman charging my way. I mean, Mary Herndon was charging my, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. And she just came. You could tell there was a burden on her heart because she was explaining their situation. Here's where we are. Here's what's going on. It's good, but we feel God stirring. What do we do with that? And so we talked that night about how you respond to God's call and about what Family Life was all about, what Revive Our Hearts was all about, because you guys were just exploring where would the Lord want you. And I said, so where's your husband in all of this? And she said, he's coming along. You know,
I've not heard it quite like that.
Yeah. Anyway, at that point, we even had our house for sale because we knew that God was sending us somewhere, and we just didn't know where, and we wanted to be ready. And so anyway, and shortly thereafter, you guys had a conversation and... Yeah. You know,
and then they came to visit in Little Rock. You also went to Michigan and looked at Revive Our Hearts, tried to pray through where did God want you?
Yeah, we had given God a blank check with our lives, and we just knew, like, Lord, we'll go wherever you want us to. We knew that, like, Abraham even knew to go north. We just wanted to be sure.
This couple has been a strategic gift to our ministry. God has brought them in and used both of them in significant ways. And given us opportunities we wouldn't have had as a ministry. Chris's skill set, his leadership, just the way that he's been leading, Mary's engagement with the ministry and with women in the ministry. And one of the things that Mary and Chris have done from the beginning is as we have new staff come, Mary is the chairman of the one-person committee to get them oriented to Little Rock and to help them get acclimated, and just been a great gift. Thinking about the last couple of years, the verse that came to mind was James 1. I know this has been a season of great joy for both of you because James 1 says to count it all joy when you encounter various trials. Mm-hmm. And when we think about trials, you go back 2 years and your first big trial journey began a couple of years ago. Began with you experiencing some symptoms that were unusual, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so actually it was last summer. So last spring, I was sitting in Bible study, I was doing BSF, and I noticed the screen looked blurry, and I'm like, probably blood sugar. Didn't think much of it. And after lunch, it was gone, and then a couple weeks later, the same thing happened, didn't think much of it. And my daughter's in the medical field. She said, Mom, you might be having like a mini stroke or something. And so kind of ignored it a couple times. And about the third time it happened, we went to the physician, and he goes, I kind of agree with your daughter, sent us for an MRI. And Chris drove me because my eyes were a bit, kind of wonky. Mm. And so Chris is like, he's just, I'm like, when are we going to do this? He goes, right now. And so they sent us for an MRI. And I think we have a little picture. Yeah. And so it popped up, you know, something that shouldn't be there.
You got a picture there, Jim? Yeah, this is Mary.
Yeah, so you see a little MRI, he goes, that shouldn't be there. So there was a brain tumor.
That full moon down there in the middle of the
circle,
MRI? That shouldn't be there.
You're like, that shouldn't be there. And you're like,
so think ping pong ball. That's about the
So it was on my brain stem. It was a tumor. Thankfully, they told us, you know, the type of tumor that I had is usually benign, but it was in a beast of a location. And so they prepared us for that. They said the surgery is going to be a beast and recovery is brutal, but when you're done, you're done. And so that was the journey that we, you know, figured we would be on. So that was last summer, last July.
Brain surgery. I mean, that's not anything that you just go, oh, brain surgery. Yeah, we can do that Tuesday, right? Yeah,
exactly.
And, and beast of a location, they told you that there were going to be implications in taking this out.
Yes. So they told us it was tangled in three nerves. So it was your hearing nerve, your facial nerve, controlled the whole right side of your face, and your balance nerve. And so, you know, it would be impossible to get it out without messing up at least some of those.
Wow. You ultimately went down to MD Anderson to have the procedure done.
Correct.
Chris, were you anxious?
I remember looking at the big screen in Little Rock when the doctor came out and said, we need to show you something. And you see it, and it's like there's a numbness. I can't describe it. You're like, I can't believe that. And Dennis really walked really closely with me because Barbara had a something very serious years prior. And he said, don't underestimate the day of surgery, because it was about a 12-hour surgery. And I kind of blew that off, right? And I'm like, well, I'm just sitting in a waiting room. But it's hard to describe the flood of emotions over the course of 12 hours, because what they would do is come out every 2 hours and say, Herndon family, and then I would go sit in a little room, and the nurse would say, here's where we are, and everything's okay, and all that stuff. But so she goes back about 6:30 in the morning, and they said the first one wouldn't be till 10, and she did, came out, you know, she's okay. It was very, very brief. The noon, so 4 hours into the surgery, she said they just have gotten to the tumor. Like, it's taken 4 hours just to get to the tumor.
Like, what have you been doing for first?
Yeah.
I slept through it. I don't know.
But I just remember that afternoon as I was getting the updates, I couldn't help but reflect, Lord, there's no way I can be a single parent. And what would life look like? And some pretty deep concern, just to be honest, came over me. Mm-hmm. And that was my fear of if the Lord decided the day was the day to bring Mary home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for me, I remember, I don't really feel like the Lord was preparing me that, you know, this would be the end. I mean, they told me, you know, the surgery would be risky. And, you know, when you have a hard surgery, I feel like, you know, you worry, like, what are the risks? With brain surgery, I don't think I was worrying so much about death. You know, if I woke up in the arms of Jesus, that's not so bad as a Christian. You know, you're not worried about that. I wasn't worried about that. If you survive it, that's awesome. I think as a mom, as a wife, you're not so worried about either one of those. You're worried about what if something goes incredibly wrong and you wake up and you're not you anymore.
Yeah.
You know, that would be the thing that you'd be concerned about.
And they told you three things: hearing, balance, and...
and your face. And so... yes. So I did lose my hearing completely on this side.
So if you've had a conversation with her or tried to this weekend and you've been on her right side and you're speaking slowly or softly and she doesn't respond, don't hold that against her. She just had no idea you were talking to her.
But it still holds my earring. Yeah. So it's still, you know, I've got a spare, so it's good.
So all gone.
Completely gone. But, you know, that's a blessing. So we, you know, in hearing afterwards, God is so gracious.
Here, rehook that on your ear.
Know,
we lost you.
And while she's doing that, here's the blessing. I'll ask her something or say something to her, and she'll ignore me. And I'm like, I know you heard me.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's but, right. It's probably hanging weird things there.
Okay, we're good.
Nuts in the phone. Can you hear me? Is it messed up still?
It's still messed up. Let me do this for you.
Thank you, Bob.
I hope this is okay, Chris.
Perfectly fine with that.
Is that good?
That's good.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I messed up your hair a little bit. There we go.
Yeah. I don't think they...
Okay, I'm done. All right.
Are you okay with that, Marianne?
Yeah.
I don't think the tech booth guys like it.
All right.
Okay.
You good with that?
I got all kinds of,
Now we can.
So I think, you know, you hear people who only lost partial hearing, and so, like, it would be better to be completely deaf on this side than to have half hearing, and it'd be like a radio station that's going, so, I mean, God is gracious that he took it all away on that side. So, I mean, there's things to be thankful for, even when you lost it all.
When, at the end of 12 hours, they came out and said it went well, what do you remember?
Very little, to be honest, but it went well. She's good. Recovery was really difficult. Mm-hmm. Just recovering from the side. Her biggest issue was her left side, because she was in one position for 13 hours, and so a lot of bruising and just really extreme tenderness on her left side, her hip. She's a trooper, I tell you. To see her go through PT, walking with a walker for about a week and a half, and then she went to the walking sticks. I mean, I still remember just walking in her neighborhood just to build her strength up with walking sticks, and over the course of about 6 or 8 weeks, getting back to some level of normal activity. But stock value went way up.
Do you remember the conversation you and I had about me telling you needed to put this on Caring Bridge so that people could be alerted to it and pray for it?
Bob was like, you need to do Caring Bridge. And I was like, no, that's for people who die. I'm like, I'm not doing Caring Bridge. I was like,
we had been on Caring Bridge when Mary Ann had surgery and she didn't die. So
not
everybody
died. I was
died.
Like, I don't like Caring Bridge.
But so, you did decide to kind of share the story with folks on your website.
Right. We have for our family life, we have like a webpage for our personal ministry site. And so, yes, we care, because you know better. We don't go into things that are big, like brain surgery, without people praying for you. So we did. Mm-hmm. We had a little personal ministry site that we give our updates on, because there's no way you can send out emails to everyone. So just to update, and we did it there.
And the response to that was?
It was big, yes. Yeah. It was quite big.
Yeah. Like, how big?
Huge. It was like, I mean, when we did the same thing again.
She's
like,
not a numbers person, so she's struggling right now.
So
don't know what to say.
Because
I have no idea.
You have no idea?
Yes. Well, and we did it again later with another. Yeah.
So okay. It was like, but we can share about that one.
All right.
What do we do?
So that journey was over. Some fallout, mm-hmm. but other than that, you're kind of moving on.
Yeah, she's had two MRIs since, one 3 months later, one 6 months from the 3 months, so 9 months later from surgery, and tumor-free. Yeah, no signs there.
Good.
Yeah, it was great. And he was wonderful, especially coming home. Yeah.
So life's back to normal.
Can I tell you about how he was afterwards?
Yeah.
And I was telling Bob this earlier. Is that okay? Can I tell him now? Okay. So I remember, like, when we got home and, you know, you're laying in bed and God, it was so sweet. Like, we remodeled our bedroom and I'm like, I have a degree in interior design, and just God's fingerprints of how sweet things are, like, How sweet it is that I got to recover in a room that had the new colors. I mean, for a woman, that matters. Anyway, and I was laying there, and Chris was so good at being the mom, the dad, the cook, the nurse, everything. And he was so busy, because men are doers. And I remember, like, he was so busy doing all the things for me that I would have to remind him, like, please stop and just be with me too. And I remember as I was laying in bed thinking, you know, I bet that's how God feels sometimes too. We're so busy doing all the things for God that he wants us to be with him as well. And I'm like, we are human beings, not human doings. And so we need, even in we're doing good things in ministry, that we need to make sure that we are with him as well. And so, like, as I was laying in bed, I'm like, we need to make sure that we are with God as well. And God created us for relationship with him and with each other. And so that was my laying in bed moment. Like,
I tend to be a Martha, not the Mary.
Yeah. You know? I know you. I do know that. So let's go back 4 months ago.
Yeah. So we pick our 13 at the time year old son, Charlie, up. He was away about an hour north of Little Rock at a week camp for kids.
June 28th this year.
And on a Saturday, about 11 o'clock, and he got in the car, and he just fell asleep. Like, I'm not feeling well. And we just thought it was a week of just being a kid and probably not sleeping and eating junk and all that stuff. And but he just, so we gave him Advil, he went to sleep, and for the next 3 or 4 days, that was the norm. You know, in the afternoon, a fever would come in. And so Thursday, all right, about 4 or 5 days later, Mary takes us to the primary. And
yeah, I'm thinking he might, you know, he's in the middle of summer, you're in July, about 4th of July by now, and he's running a fever in the middle of summer. I'm like, okay, he might be running, picked up strep or something at camp. You might want to check this out.
So we take him to the hospital on Sunday, and they admit him, and just a barrage of tests.
Yeah, And so his white blood count was through the roof, and they're like, oh no, is this leukemia, or what is going on here? Because at this day, you're on day 11 of a high fever, you give him Tylenol instead of going down, or Motrin, his fever's going higher, and so.
Yeah, so I think it was maybe Tuesday or Wednesday of that week where the doctors come in and said, we've got a diagnosis, your son has MRSA bacteria in his liver. And my first responsibility when I first started at Family Life, I reported to Bob, and he said, we've got this guy named Ron Deal who's getting ready to onboard. I want you to help him in that process. Just help him get acclimated. I'm like, great, I've been here 3 weeks. I know where the bathrooms are. But but about that first day of Ron showing up, I took him to lunch, the Panera Bread, and Ron, in like 15 minutes, just spills his guts out to me. And it was still very raw to him. I mean, this is, what, 5 years later of,
you remember, of Connor passing. Died from MRSA.
And so when I hear that, I immediately go back to that lunch in Panera and go, my boy's a year older than Connor was, and he's got the exact same thing.
Yeah, and one of my jobs at Family Life is helping new families come on. And so Ron and Ann are some of our closest friends. And mm-hmm. so, you know, it's very real. We're like, okay, we know exactly what this is. Mm-hmm. We've been there. And so, yeah, we knew exactly.
And for me, it that was that Wednesday, and Charlie really tanked. I mean, he did. In the course of about 7 or 8 days, he went from about 108 pounds to about 94, just throwing up. All of a sudden, he's got a feeding tube going through his nose just so he can have sustenance, and just not doing well. In the hospital, it's the best children's hospital in Arkansas. But they were like, we've never seen this. They were just completely unsure of the path to recovery. And for me, it was when the following Wednesday, July 18th, and my normal day then, Mary stayed every night in the hospital, except when she took our daughter to college. But I would go into work early, and I would get as much as I could done, and then I would go to the hospital when the doctor started around about 8:30, 9 o'clock, kind of hear what was going on for the day, and then I would gauge what would I do that day. Would I stay or would I go back to the office? But that morning, I backed my car into the parking lot of Family Life. The program, Bob and Dennis were on. It was Ron and Deal. Ron and Nan Deal, their first day of their three-day series, and it was about in the middle of it, and they're just unpacking the story, and it's just flooding me again. And they get to the point where the doctors say right before lunch, hey, Connor, he's in a coma, he's stable, you guys go get a bite to eat and then come back. And I don't think Nan really had left his side up until that right. point. And they just tell the story when they come back, he's not in the room, he's gone. And then what happened right after that. And I was just hit with one big fat question. What are you doing here? Right? What are you doing sitting in this parking lot? The lights are not going to flicker if you don't go in today. And so I cranked my car and I went to the hospital. And it was really interesting. Charlie's a lot like me. I've got like two emotions, and I'm gonna use both of them this morning probably for you guys. But that afternoon, we're just talking, and he's having an okay day. And he just says to me, man, I'm not getting out of here. And what I thought I heard him say, you know, just kind of complaining, like, when am I going to get to go home? But I looked in his eyes, and what he really meant was, I think this is going to be the last room I'm ever going to be in. And, yeah, we've never told this publicly. I knew I should have brought a hand towel from my room. So I stay there the rest of the day, about 9:30, 10 o'clock. I'm heading home, driving home. Mary stays. And it's about a 15, 20-minute drive, and I'm driving, and I break down. Just flooded. And God asked me a question. It's the same question Jesus asked his disciples as they were going from place to place. Who do you say I am? You trust me. Thank you. You if you believe my letter to you, do you believe what it says to you as my child? Do you trust me? Above everything you can understand, do you trust me? And he's asked me that question several times in my life. He asked me the week when Family Life said, we'd love for you to pray about coming on staff. Chris, do you trust me? Who do you say I am? He asked me the question the day of surgery for Mary when I'm struggling in that afternoon. Who do you say I am, Chris? Now, Psalm 119:71, it's good for you to be afflicted so you can learn my decrees. And God's given us these moments in our life, these trials, in my opinion, so that he can display deeper his character of who he is as our Father. Yeah.
You eventually had Charlie moved from Arkansas Children's Hospital, as you said, best place for him to be in the state, but they were dealing with something they didn't know anything about.
Yeah, so he was like in the 15th best children's center in America, but what he had was so rare. There's only been 15 cases ever in the United States, and so they were like, we need to go somewhere else. So he was moved to Cincinnati Children's Hospital.
Can we put up the picture there?
This is day 23.
Day 23, so we had to airlift him to Cincinnati, Ohio. So I flew with Charlie. Chris had to drive with our daughter who just got back from Rwanda, which, you know, another God detail. Like, so I never had to feel like I'm neglecting someone at home to be with Charlie because she was on a mission trip doing what she loved. God, it's in the details.
In the middle of all of this, she's headed off to college.
She's heading off to her freshman year of college. Yeah, so...
Yeah, about 2 weeks after this. And I tell you, it was hard to see that airplane door close with my wife and my son in it. And I jumped back in the ambulance, ride back to the hospital to get my car. And just helplessness.
Yeah, and so when we arrive in Cincinnati, you know, you realize, you know, it's bad. And so, you know, you're in the number two children's hospital in America. And so when he had his first surgery, and at one of the biggest children's hospitals in America, and you're in the recovery room, and there's, you know, when you're in recovery, they have like the curtains that come, you know, all the kids, you know, after recovery. And so like you have to wake up in recovery and they take you to your child and you pass 50 curtains of children, and down on the very end, there's four rooms that have real walls and slidey doors. And you're like, so they had to put him under every Monday and Thursday, and you're like, I just want to be I don't want a slidey door, I want a curtain. It's like,
How
be
long?
I want to be a curtain mom. But we never got to be a curtain mom.
How long was Charlie at Children's in Cincinnati?
31 days.
Yeah, so he was seven.
55 total.
And they kept trying things, and the temp was not diving.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, they were saying things like, we're doing things we've never done before.
Mm-hmm. Nothing was working.
You know, when you sign consents of, like, there's just, you sense there's big questions. But great people. I mean, just phenomenal physicians and specialists there. And it was about, I don't know, maybe day 20 there, when you started turning the corner in a positive way.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, when you ever do a medical procedure and they give you the crazy list of things that could go wrong and the list in the page is blank because they've never done it before. Mm-hmm. They're like, we think we might have heard something in China that could possibly work, but it's never been done. There's never been a trial. And you're like, for me, it was the Abraham and Isaac moment. Because, you know, we love Nan and Ron and Nan. And so I think for me, it was the point where you have to wrestle with, what do you believe about God? And I had to put my child into God's hands, and like, it was as if God was saying, if I chose to take Charlie home right now, would you still believe that I'm good? Would you still believe, you know, like, you have to wrestle on all those levels. And for me, it was like, you know, Charlie's a believer, and so if God chose to take him on, he got to be straight with Jesus, that's good for him. And so if I got extra time with him, that's good for me. And so I had to, like, I was get to the point where, if I'm honest with myself, I would say I have things in my life, like I would have an untouchable list. Like, Lord, I'll go anywhere, I'll serve anywhere. I mean, when we were going into ministry, I would say, Lord, I'll go to Africa, I'll do whatever you want me to do. But there are certain things I'm holding tightly. Yeah.
And your kids are on that list.
Yeah, like, not my child, not that. Not that, Lord. You know, things I'm going to hold tightly. Surely you wouldn't ask that. And so it was like, in those moments, I felt like God was prying my fingers loose of things I had no business holding so tightly, because those are the very areas that he wants to get in there and work. And the things that I hold tightly that matter most to my heart, they matter to his as well. And those are the places that he wants to work.
How's Charlie today?
Charlie's good. Yeah, we knew he was getting better, so about maybe, I don't know, 5 or 7 days before we got out of school. He's homeschooled, so this is teacher. And when he started complaining about doing geometry, I knew that he was on his way.
It was good.
Well, that, and he was like, he saw his friends are out mowing grass, and he was like, I need to be getting out there. My friends are mowing grass, and I'm stuck in this hospital, and at this rate, I'm going to have a bag of bolts rather than saving for a car. So we're like, okay, he's back. Yeah.
He's, like, he's 14, right?
He's now 14. 14.
And tell him what he asked for in the hospital.
Charlie, he's got a great sense of humor. So the nurses were just wonderful. They'd come in, Charlie, is there anything I need before I leave? And he says, yeah, there's one thing. Could I have some medicinal marijuana? And he looks over at me and gives me a wink, and I'm like, what do you? And the nurse was, she was put back on her heels just a little bit, but yeah.
Any lingering effect of the MRSA?
Yeah, so we came back Saturday of Labor Day weekend. We drove back, and then that Thursday we had our first appointment back at Children's. So he came home, and they did blood work. It looked good. And then 2 weeks from that Thursday, they did another CT scan, and he's had, I don't know, maybe 6 or 8, a lot of those. But I mean, his liver looked normal. Praise God for that. And so they immediately took him off some really strong antibiotics. And he's still going through physical therapy. I mean, can you imagine a kid or any of us lying in the bed for 55 days, just how your muscle tone and atrophy and those things. So he's rebuilding his strength back. He's in school, just finished driver's ed. So, yeah, if you live in Little Rock,
Arkansas,
watch out. There's a swerving car coming near you. But, yeah, he's still processing, you know.
Yeah, but I think one of the last things is just we realize, like, our life is not about us. And, you know, we quickly, more than anything, I think especially in Western cultures, when hard things come, we want to just pray for it to be over as quickly as possible with no fallout. And so I think the last 2 years have just changed the way that we pray. And so we're learning to just pray, Lord, help us, teach us as much as you can through this situation, and help us to walk the journey well. And so just realize that you find yourself when difficulty comes, that you find yourself on the center of a stage you didn't ask to be on, and there's lots of eyes from a lot of places watching how this thing is going to play out. And, just like you said with the blog. And so, you know, we, with Charlie, we were like reading all the text and places that were coming in, and we're like, Charlie, it's gone viral. You're famous. And, you realize there's a huge opportunity to, say how this is going, and to point others to Christ. So.
And I would just, there's a lot of people, even in this room, who during that journey for us, called, text, sent us notes of encouragement, came to the hospital or both hospitals to encourage us. And I would just say, respond to the little nudges of the Holy Spirit, whatever it may be, to reach out to encourage someone. You cannot have any idea of how encouraging it was for us when those things, when you guys touched us, we really needed it. Mm-hmm. And it gave us a deeper appreciation for the body of Christ working as one.
I'm going to ask Justin if he'd come back up, and I want you guys just to stay here while he comes back up, because so I was thinking about your story this morning and thinking about what I know of Justin's music. There's a song from his last CD that I think would be appropriate for us to listen to, just given what you've shared this morning. You good with playing this? Yeah. I know I kind of put you on the spot with this one, but you remember the lyrics to it?
As I wandered through the desert, lost beyond all measure, I had gone astray. Thirsty, longing for the river flowing from your mountain, it seemed so far away. And so I cry out, my soul, I reached out to the Holy Father, who is faithful to reply. And he delivered me from my death in the desert, and he led me to his grace. And he delivered me from the storm and the wreckage. He carried me away. He carried me away. Always you are strong to save me, faithful though I'm failing, following your ways. Your love is patient and changing, selfless and enduring. With you I choose to stay. And so I cry out from my soul, I reach out to my Holy Father, who is faithful to reply. And he delivered me from my death.
Seasons in life where God takes us through the valley of the shadow, but Psalm 23 says, you are with me, and your rod and your staff comfort me. And you guys have experienced the comfort of God in the midst of the trial and the shadow. Amen. Thank you guys for sharing. Thank you. Would you thank them for sharing their story with you? Thank you.